pick up the authorized version of Holy Scripture in the pew before you and turn with me to the middle of the Bible, to Isaiah's prophecy at the chapter 53. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah's prophecy at the page 739. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither were any deceit. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see a seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And God shall stamp his own infallible book with his own infallible seal of approval. My subject tonight is the little Bible within the Bible and its miracle chapters. The book of Isaiah is a unique book, for it is a little Bible within the Bible. It gives a summary of the Holy Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And in the overwhelming and overriding of providence, each chapter in Isaiah has a special relationship to each book in the Bible. There are 66 books in the Bible. There are 66 chapters in Isaiah. Genesis in Isaiah is chapter 1. Exodus is chapter 2. Leviticus is chapter 3. Numbers is chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And so all through the 66 books, there is a direct connection with each book of the Bible. The first 39 books form the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament. The last 27 books form the latter part of the Bible, the New Testament. How intriguing when I open the book of Isaiah to see its twofold division. The first section containing the same number of chapters as are the books in the Old Testament, 39. And the second containing the same number of books in the New Testament, 27. But then in opening the book of Isaiah, I discover that every chapter has an outline and highlights the main point of the book to which it is related. If you open your Bible at the first chapter of Isaiah, you'll find the heavens and the earth are mentioned because Genesis tells us about the making of the heavens and the earth. In the ending of Revelation, we have the new heavens and the new earth. And strange to relate, or is it strange, we find that the last chapter of Isaiah makes reference to the new heavens and the new earth. The burden of Genesis is man's way of ruin and God's way of redemption. A similar theme is the burden of the first chapter of Isaiah, the genesis of this miniature Bible. Second book of the Bible is Exodus, dealing with the going out of the Israelites from Egypt and the giving of the law upon the holy mountain. In the Exodus of Isaiah, chapter 2, we read, "Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." The last words of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, are judgment, and judgment is the theme of the 39th chapter, the last of the Old Testament chapters of the book of Isaiah. Chapter 40 commences a new part of Isaiah. Here we have the start of the new part, New Testament part of Isaiah. How does the New Testament open? It opens with the angels shouting, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." How does the 40th chapter of Isaiah start? Comfort ye, my people. And the very expression, good tidings, same expression, is in the 9th verse of Isaiah 40. Who is the first great character of the New Testament? None other than John the Baptist. In verse 3 of this chapter in Isaiah, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. At his baptism by John, our Lord Jesus was manifested to Israel. Then the heavens were opened, and the Father's voice rang up, "This is my beloved Son." In the 40th chapter of Isaiah, verse 9, there is the cry, "Behold your God." The great doctrinal center of the New Testament's teaching is the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The center of the gospel is the cross. It's the blood of the cross that redeems people, that saves them from their sin. And then the exact center of Isaiah's New Testament in miniature is the great 53rd chapter. What other chapter of the whole Bible depicts the cross so grandly? The 44th chapter in the Acts of Isaiah's New Testament. How appropriate verse 3 is, "For I will pour waters on him that is thirsty, and floods upon a dry ground." There's the summary of Pentecost. The 45th chapter is the Romans of Isaiah's New Testament. The theme of the Roman epistle is justification by faith. How fitting then this chapter should close with the words, "And the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified." Keeping in mind that the New Testament was not written until many hundreds of years after Isaiah's death, how can we account for the unique New Testament in miniature on a mere human basis? Man could have not planned such a thing. Undoubtedly, this is the finger of God. I don't go away from this meeting and say Ian Paisley started a sermon and then read something out of a book. I'm reading out of my own book, Christian Foundation. If you have never read this book, I'm sorry you're ignorant. But you can remedy that. You can get a copy and read it. The first book I ever wrote on a Bible theme, Christian Foundation. There was an infidel in Palamina, a man, an atheist, and a defier of Christ. My dad gave him this book to read, and thank God the infidel could see it, and the atheist was converted. So you get that book and read about Isaiah. But the other day, as I was sitting at my study desk, and I was thinking about this great matter, I said, "You know, there's something more in Isaiah you have missed." I said, "What would that be?" Well, if the third chapters in Isaiah are so important, there's no chapter like the 53rd chapter. And there's no chapter in Isaiah like the 63rd chapter. They're both parallel chapters. Then all of the third chapters must have a special message about the cross. Chapter 3. Chapter 13, chapter 23, chapter 33, chapter 43, chapter 53, and chapter 63. And I sat down with my Bible and I looked for the cross. 7 is the number of perfection in the Bible, and there's a perfect look at the cross in these 7 great third chapters in Isaiah. You have the alignment of the cross in chapter 3. You have the announcement of the cross in chapter 13. You have the assignment of the cross in chapter 23. You have the amazement of the cross in chapter 33. You have the astonishment of the cross in chapter 43. You have the atonement of the cross in chapter 53. And you have the attainment of the cross in chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 3, the alignment of the cross. The fall of man led to the destruction of this world. Instead of light, there was darkness. Instead of peace, there was war. Instead of perfection, there was perversity. Instead of truth, God's truth, there was a devil's lie. Instead of love, there was hate. Instead of heaven, there was hell. The only thing that brings this rebel world back into fellowship with God is the alignment of the cross. Man cannot save himself. Chapter 3 teaches the total failure of man. Look at verses 1 to 3. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole staff of water. The mighty man, the man of war, and the judge, and the prophet, and the prudent, and the ancient, and the captain of 50, and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. The total failure of man. All have sinned. All have been destroyed by sin. The total failure of the royal family of David, verses 4 to 7. The total failure of the nation, verses 8 and 9. The alignment of the righteous, verse 10. And the torment of the wicked, verse 11. The cross is the alignment. The Lord stands up at the cross to plead and judge the people. Look carefully at verse 13. The cross is the great alignment. But turn from the third chapter to the 13th chapter. And here we have the announcement of the cross. The mysterious prophetic language of Isaiah announces the cross. In verse 1, the banner of the cross is lifted up. In verse 4, the Lord of hosts musters the host to battle. From the end of heaven, the Lord came with his weapons. Verse 5, upon this scene of the cross, the sun refused to shine. Verse 10. We often sing about the doing of the cross. In verse 12, we have the mystery of the cross. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Oh, let me tell you, my friend, when I read that, I looked at it and looked at it again. And I thought, as I looked at that, how cheap are men and man's life in this world of sin. But not so with God. How precious is the soul of a man. A man is more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Do you want to know the value of a human soul? Go to Calvary. Count the tears of Jesus. Count the blood drops of Jesus. Count the pangs of Jesus. Count the agony of Jesus. Count all he suffered. Why? Because the man was more precious than fine gold. Dear sinner friend, God loves your soul. He's a lover of men's souls. And at the cross, we have the announcement of what God and how God valued the human soul. Turn to Isaiah chapter 23, and you have the assignment of the cross. What a powerful assignment was the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. By it, the miraculous change would be made in the hearts of men by the attitude of men to their fellows on earth. Note the great contrast between the first 17 verses of the chapter and the last verse, verse 18. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured up nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord, to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. The assignment of the cross was to bring business and trade to the merchandise, not of silver and gold, but the merchandise of the most valuable thing of the world, God's holiness in the hearts of men. What a difference between this assignment and the assignment of the wickedness of the people, the nations in the previous verses of the chapter. Not be treasured up. The gospel is for proclaiming. Thirdly, the assignment of the cross is for free trade among the people. It is without money and without price. Fourthly, the assignment of the cross is for those who dwell before their God. Fifthly, the assignment of the cross is for them to eat sufficiently or abundantly. Feed me till my want, till I want no more. And sixthly, the assignment of the cross is for durable clothing. Go back to Genesis. Fallen man and woman wanted durable clothing. They made them an apron of figs. It wouldn't last long. But God took the fig leaf away from them, and he sacrificed the animals, and he put upon Adam and Eve blood-stained, lasting clothing, durable clothing. And the man that seeth is covered with the garment of Christ. Old John Bunyan said, "The righteousness of Christ dwells where? I got it the night I am seen. There's not a spot or showing a wear upon it to this day. And I live with it on my shoulders through all eternity. And it will be as new 10,000 billion years that come and go as it is today. It wears well." Turn to Isaiah 33, and there you have the amazement of the cross. What a chapter is this, listing the amazement of the cross. Here is a gleam of bright sunshine after the darkest hour. God gives us a heart desire for it. Here is the cross. "Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Notice the gracious life. It is a life of grace for sinners that flows from the cross and forms all the amazement of the cross. Notice it is an upright life conforming to God's most holy law. Notice it is a heavenly life. It is the life of one who dwells on high with God. Notice it is a safe life. His defense as a munition of rocks. Notice it as a well supplied life. The well supplied life, his bread will be given him and his water sure. And notice seventhly, it is, or sixthly, the hopeful life. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. You can never see Jesus except you see him at the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the life. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Turn to Isaiah 43. And there you have the astonishment of the cross. What a chapter is this, the astonishment of Calvary. The cross is the cross of salvation. Throughout this whole chapter, God affirms who he is. He is the creator and former of all mankind, verse 1. He is the redeemer of his people, verse 2. He is the possessor of his people, verse 2. He is the preserver of his people, verse 3. He is the Lord their God, verse 3. He is the Holy One of Israel, verse 3. He is thy Savior, verse 3. He is the ransomer of his people, verse 3. He loves his people, verse 4. He sacrifices for his people, verse 4. He keeps his people, verse 5. He gathers his people, verse 6. He's the Holy One of Israel to his people, verse 14. He is the King of his people, verse 15. He has blotted out the sins of his people, verse 26. The astonishment of the cross, the doer of the cross, is God himself. And then we turn to that great chapter, the 53rd chapter, the atonement of the cross. There are three questions in this chapter. Who hath believed our report? That question is answered in this chapter. The second question is, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That second question is answered in this chapter. And the last question, who shall declare his generation, is answered in this chapter. Study it and you'll get the three answers to the question that's asked, the three questions asked in this chapter. No one has been able to exhaust in exposition or explanation the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. James Durham wrote a massive volume on this chapter. And when he had finished writing it, he said, I haven't even touched the edge of this great book and this great chapter. And then Isaiah 63, the atonement of the cross. And what a chapter is Isaiah 63. Behold, the mighty Savior comes from Edom's hostile plains. A crimson vesture he assumes, and blood his raiment stains. From Bozrah glorious he appears. His robes with victory shine. Complete salvation, lo, he wears with majesty divine. Why thus arrayed, Almighty God, in vests of purple glow, with garments dyed in streams of blood that from the winepress flow? The winepress I myself have trod, and with me there was none. Your strength and your salvation stood complete in me alone. When not an angel's strength could bear the vengeance of a God, Then did the Son of Man appear, and garments rolled in blood. Alone he stood. Alone he fell. Alone the conqueror rose. Alone he burst the bars of hell and trampled on his foes. Who is he that cometh from Bozrah with dyed garments for Edom? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. The Lord is here tonight. He is mighty to deliver souls from the power of sin and set them free. Oh, the wonder of the cross. It shall never, ever suffer loss. Let us bow our heads. We thank thee, O Lord, for the wonder of the cross and the wonder of the Bible. And we pray that we may submit ourselves to divine truth. And those this night unconverted, may they be saved by the grace of God. Lead them to Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen and amen.